I'm missing a clicker, so I can hit the space bar, or if you've got one, I'll take it. I found both of them, maybe. Oh, there it is.
Well, whose fault was that? Who left that there?
If you have your Bible, would you take it out and turn to Romans chapter 12, please? Thank you, Jesse. Romans chapter 12. And since Jesse did that, I'm going to talk about Jesse for just a second. About 4 years ago, I made a list with the help of a few other Christians of 66 things to be done in the body of Christ. Why 66 things? Because that's how many things I could list and it still fit in the bulletin. Remember that? Bulletins? And so here a few weeks ago, maybe it's been a month or two even now, I was over at the Cisco's house, and there on the table was a worn and battered and folded and written on bulletin that said 66 things to be done in the body. Now, maybe it was all worn and stuff because it got stuffed in a Bible somewhere and then you wrote notes from other sermons on it, but I don't think that was the case. And two things came to mind when I saw that at the Cisco's house. And the first is this: I love Jesse and Kim, and I love how willing they are to work in God's kingdom. But the second thing that came to mind is maybe that's a concept worth revisiting. And so what I've done is I've compiled a list of 75 things to be done in the body, and I've put it on the table there in the foyer. Why 75 things? Well, because that's how many can fit on the front and back of a single sheet of paper. And I want us to consider that this morning, 75 things to be done in the body. In the past year, I've had several people come to me with the kind of questions that I've heard, but it seems this year there's been more of these kinds of questions. Where do I fit in the church? What can I do in the church? What is my role in this body? And we've talked about that same concept in the high school and junior high classes several times over the last year. And let me say this, and let me say it clearly. If you are a part of the body, if you're a member of the church, then you have a role to play in the body. Everyone who is a member of Christ's church has a role to play in that church. And at the same time, we've been admittedly in somewhat of a survival mode for the last year. But as things continue to tread back toward normalcy, or whatever the new normal is or will be, it's time for us to get back to work. And with that in mind, I've made a sheet that expands on that with those 75 things. And it could be much, much larger. You understand that. It doesn't include the specific duties of elders and deacons. Certainly, they're doing all of those things. These things that are listed are much more general in nature. But I say body instead of church or whatever else it might be. And I do that intentionally. The body is one of the primary images used for Christ and his church. We are a body of believers, and Christ is the head of that body. And each of us need to find and fulfill our role as part of the body. And the reason why I love that image for the church, perhaps more than any other, is because when we think about the church, there are lots of illustrations that are used. You think about we are the bride and Jesus is the bridegroom, or we're the wife and Jesus is the husband. Well, there are lots of people who have never been married, and lots of others who have not had good marriages. And so that image and that illustration is limited somewhat by that experience. You think about the almost interchangeable term kingdom and that image for the church. Well, as people who are part of a republic and have lived in the United States for most of our lives, or all of our lives for most of us in here, the idea of a kingdom with a king is a little bit difficult for us to wrap our arms around. But everybody in here has a body, and everybody in here knows what it's like when the body functions properly and when some part of the body isn't functioning properly. And so it is a universal illustration that everyone can see and understand. And so tonight's lesson is very simple. We're going to read three passages found in three different New Testament books and three different contexts, and make four observations from those three texts, and then make some practical applications in your life and in this local church. Now, all four of the points we're going to be made
we're going to make tonight could be made from any one of these three texts, but there is a little bit different emphasis for each one, and so we'll highlight those as we go through.
The first point I want us to make in considering the body and what might be done in the body is this. We all have a God-given role to play in the body.
Let's read in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3, if you would with me, please. We'll read down through verse 8.
For I say, Paul says, for I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. An amount of faith, an amount of abilities that come with your faith. As he goes on to describe in verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, that is service, let us use it in our ministering, in our serving. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, no doubt, part of what Paul was thinking about here were miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit, and those gifts were given by grace. But it's interesting to me, after he talks about that first thing, that idea of prophecy and using them in prophecy, everything that he lists after that really doesn't require a miraculous gift from the Holy Spirit in order to have those. Those are the normal gifts each one of us are given based on our abilities and personalities and the growth of our faith in Jesus Christ. And what we see there in that passage, in a context of Paul's call for them to give themselves totally to God,
to give your life as a sacrifice to him, as he describes in verses 1 and 2, proving that God's way works when you do it that way, he talks about our role in the body. Now, I think there are many in the religious world who don't think about grace in these terms, but everything we have is by grace. My abilities, I mean, I didn't earn those abilities. My talents, my opportunities to serve others are all by God's grace, that he's given me those opportunities and abilities and talents. It is God-given. And if you want to put it, think about it in this way, the gifts that we're given from God are on loan from him. So how am I using what I've been loaned by God? Am I being a good steward of his blessings in the role that he has given me, with the abilities that he has given me? You don't have to turn over there. We're familiar probably with the story in Matthew chapter 25, and I actually use story appropriately there because it's a parable, the parable of the talents. And the idea there is that each one was given an amount of money to manage from his master. He was put in stewardship. He was given a loan so that he might make more money in return for his master. And each one was given a certain amount, and it was a different amount based on what? Well, the text says, based on his ability, based on what he could do with it, based on his potential, if you want to put it in those terms. And so the master comes, and he has a reckoning for each one of them.
What have you done with what I have given you? But what's interesting to me that I want to point out for our lesson tonight is this. There was no zero talent man. Everyone was given something from the Lord based on his ability. And we've all been given abilities and opportunities by the Lord as well. I would go so far as to say that when the Lord created you, when the Lord put you on this earth, he knew you and knows you better than you know yourself, and he had in mind what you should do and should be able to do in his service. And maybe that's not what you've actually done in your life, but what you'd be good at if you were to do it. And maybe it's lots of things. Maybe it's just a few things that you would really do well in his service, but there is something you're supposed to be doing in the body. And God has put you in that place so that you might do it. Whether you choose to do it or not, God has given you that role. And we'll talk about that more here in just a moment. There is grace that he has given to you.
As Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Earlier this week, I get a verse of the day every day on my phone. And earlier this week, it was that very verse, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. And it usually lists a lot of different translations and how they translate that that verse. And one of the translations, instead of saying "you are his workmanship," it says "you are his masterpiece." And that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Well, I'm God's masterpiece. You know, look at me. Look what God has done. I don't like that translation. Let me tell you why. You are not some piece of art to be put on a shelf and admired. You know what you are as a Christian? You're a tool. You are a tool to be used in God's service. Now, don't get me wrong. A tool, when used properly, can be a beautiful and wonderful thing. But what you have been given is the abilities and talents and opportunities to work. And to work in God's service. We all have a God-given role to play in the body. And we need to be functioning as intended by our Maker. The second point that I want us to see comes from a similar passage in Ephesians chapter 4. If you want to turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, the second point is this: the body will not function properly without all of its members fulfilling their roles. So Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 7 through 10 make a similar point to what we found earlier in the book of Romans. It's by grace that we're given the things that God has given. Then beginning in verse 11, he says this: "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For," here is what they're supposed to do in those roles, "for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, if you really stop and think about it, he describes all of these roles, and he says all of these roles are put in place because they're intended to help the saints in all of their roles. It is for the equipping of the saints so that they might do the work of the ministry, so that they might edify the body of Christ. Keep reading, verse 13. "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a complete man, a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Christ is our head, and we're supposed to be complete as his body. We're supposed to grow into a body that's worthy of that head, worthy of Jesus Christ. Verse 14. "That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Now, this is in a context of the growth and unity of the church, which is the manifold wisdom of God, the eternal purpose and plan of God. That's what the church is. And this body is what God designed. It's God's design. And so do your part to make it work as he intended. Christ gave these different roles for what purpose? So that the saints might do what they need to do in the work of the ministry. And in verse 16, he says, "From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which each part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." So we think about those roles. After the first list of 66 things, a sister commented to me, "I'm starting to feel a little overwhelmed and my to-do list is growing." Here are all the things that should be done in the body, and it's just a little overwhelming that all of these things have to be done. Let me say this, and please hear me clearly when I do. The devil always wants to use lessons like this as a discouraging guilt trip. Oh, man, I know it. I need to do more. I need to do more. I'm terrible. I'm a horrible Christian. I'm not doing enough. You should just give up, the devil says, if that's the best you can do. There are There's way more that needs to be done than what you can do. And so how much difference can one little thing do in the grand scheme of things? That's what the devil wants us to think in lessons like this. Well, maybe you haven't been doing everything that you should have been doing, but if so, that's in the past. That's done, and you can't change that. And if you admit that to yourself, well, that's confession, right? Tell God you're going to do better and then mean it and do it. That's repentance. And it's done. And today is a new day. It is the start of a new week. And the only thing you can control is what you do from this moment forward. So what will you do? Will you do your share in the body? Because the body is only going to function properly if everyone does what they can do.
Now, with that in mind, let's turn to our third passage, and that's 2 Corinthians chapter 12.
And our third point, made primarily from this passage, is not to think too highly or too lowly of our role. We all have roles. The roles are different. Some are more visible, some are less visible, some are big, at least from human perspective, some are small from human perspective. But let's not think too highly of our role and thus be prideful. Let's not think too lowly of our role and thus get discouraged. And that's what he describes. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The PowerPoint is incorrect. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's begin reading in verse 11.
This is the longest of our readings. We'll read down through verse 27, though the context goes through the end of the chapter. Verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Well, that sounds familiar of what we've already read. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. God was the one who designed this, and God designed us to be different in our functions, different in our talents, different in our abilities, different in our personalities, different in our backgrounds, different in our genders, different in our races. He divinely divided us in that way so that we might become more than the sum of our parts. So that we might become one in Christ Jesus, whether Jew or Greek or slave or free or male or female. And when we all come together, we might be able to function in his body in ways greater than what we could do in ourselves. Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and on our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And again, he goes on to talk about the different roles that we might have in that body.
The context here is of the spiritual gifts that were causing division in the body there in the church in Corinth. Because they started to get arrogant and look down on others because of what they had been given by God. And some people said, well, I have the gift of prophecy, and so I'm better than you. And others said, I have the gift of tongues, and so I'm better than you.
And so too, though our gifts are not miraculous in nature, we might do the same thing. Well, I'm the preacher, so I'm better than you. Well, I lead singing, so I'm better than you. Well, I'm out there with the people trying to help people all the time. Every day I'm going and visiting, so I'm better than you.
Such is not the attitude to be found in the body. And Paul tells them they need unity and humility as part of that same body. Maybe you're in a role where everyone sees what you do, or at least the fruits of it. Harold and I are up here often. The song leaders are front and center. Others are easily noticed, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, unless we start thinking we're better than the eye or the ear because we're the nose. What we do is not more pleasing to God than what someone else does. And if you're doing His will in whatever way you can, well, then that's what you need to be doing. And maybe no one will notice what you do while you're doing it. But like maybe the Achilles tendon or the toenail or the big toe, if you quit working, everybody's going to notice it. What you do is important, even if it's not seen. Crude's maybe too strong of a word, but we all know of men who think they are God's gift to women, right? They just think that they are it, and everybody ought to just bow down to them if they're of the other sex. Well, don't flatter yourself if that's your concept. But the fact of the matter is, men or women, you can be, and you probably are, God's gift to someone. By His grace, He's given you the ability to be His grace to someone else. You can be God's gift to a widow or shut-in who needs a visit. You are God's gift to the young mother who's struggling with the juggling act of raising children and working and running a home. And you can be a gift as a source of encouragement or help or mentoring to her. You are God's gift to a child who is perhaps in a home that is having difficulty, or a home without a Christian father, perhaps. You can be God's gift to the person who doesn't quite fit in and doesn't quite know their place, or maybe is easily forgotten or easily missed because they're so quiet. You can be God's gift to a brother or sister who is struggling with temptation and needs encouragement and accountability in their life. You are God's gift, or at least you could be, if you would fulfill your role in the body with them. And if you fulfill any one of those roles, here's the reality. No one besides the person that you are helping will know about it. But none of us as Christians work to receive praise from men, to be noticed by others. Oh, it's nice, of course, whenever people do that. But why we work is for the praise of God. Our Father who sees in secret will reward us openly. We work to the glory of Christ and for the good of the body. And as soon as we lose sight of that and start thinking too highly or too lowly of our role, we will stop functioning in the way that we should. And then the fourth point is really a combination of these texts. We all need to find and perform our roles. You have a God-given role to play in the body. And this body will not function unless you perform that role. Now, do so with humility, but not discouragement. Don't think too highly or too lowly of the role that you have and that you can play. But all of us, including you, need to find and perform your role in the body. There are some things that I can't do, or maybe I shouldn't do because I wouldn't be very good at them. And there are some things maybe that you can't do or shouldn't do, either because you wouldn't be any good at them or because God hasn't put you into that role. And so don't try and do everything poorly. Try and do a few things really, really well. We might call this your niche or your niche. I think that's the way the French say it, your niche, right? What's your spot? Where is it that you're supposed to fit to complete things? The eye shouldn't have to hear. It's not its role. The ear shouldn't have to try and see. It's not its role. And sometimes we are forced into that role because of voids in the body. The eye sometimes has to hear through sign language or reading lips because the ears aren't functioning properly in a physical body. Sometimes the ear and the hands, they have to see because it's dark. And so you have to wander through as best you can. But here's the thing. If the ears and the hands are trying to do the seeing, it's never going to work as well as if the eyes would just do the seeing like they're supposed to, right? Because that's the way it was designed. And maybe somebody else could do your role and step into that role. But I know two things. Number one, if you have a God-given ability, an ability given by God and you're refusing to use it in His service and in service to the body, how will you be able to stand before God in judgment and justify wasting the gift of grace that He's given to you with that role? Secondly, however good somebody else is at performing that role, they can't do everything they can do plus everything you can do. There is always room for more workers in the kingdom. But where do I fit, we might ask? Well, one of these passages gives us some help with that. I want you to turn back to Ephesians 4 one more time. This will be our last passage. And I want us to notice a few verses, consecutive verses, 11, 12, and then 13 and following. I'll get there eventually. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11,
I believe gives us three factors in identifying my role. Where do I fit? Well, consider these three things.
In verse 11, he says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." The first thing to consider in finding your role is your ability. Some are more naturally suited for certain roles than others. What am I good at? Well, that's a good place to start in deciding where you fit in the body. The second thing is found in verse 12. "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Those were things that needed to be accomplished. However people and whatever, however many people there were, whatever abilities that they had, those were the needs. And so the second factor is need. We need to fill the gap where there is a need.
Has anybody else seen these commercials? I think they're Nationwide Insurance, maybe. But anyway, whatever they are, it's the idea of this support group. And the support group is this therapist who's trying to help these people not become their parents. Have you seen those? Well, reality is most of us are going to turn into some version of our parents. I'm well on my way, fortunately or unfortunately, whichever the case might be. But Stephanie is actually named after her dad, you know, Stephen and then Stephanie Reeves. And one of Steve's favorite sayings is, "See a need, fill a need." You know what Steph says to our kids all the time and to me occasionally? See a need, fill a need, right? Well, isn't that exactly what we're talking about here? I look at this body. I look at this local church. And here is something that needs to be done. And maybe I'm not the perfect person for that role, but it needs to be done and nobody's doing it. And so like Isaiah, we raise our hand and say, "Here am I, send me. If nobody else will do it, I'll do it. And I'll do so with joy and gladness that I'm able to do something in the body." And then the final thing is in verse 13 and following. He says, "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a complete man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." And this isn't something that just happens overnight. We can't be children anymore, tossed to and fro. But verse 15, "speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ." The third factor is growth. We need to be looking for those roles where we fall short and strive to improve ourselves to fulfill that role too, if necessary. Because here's the reality. Maybe there's someone who is perfect and functions perfectly in their role here at Timberland Drive. But you might not be at Timberland Drive forever, and they might not be at Timberland Drive forever. And so when the members of the body change because others move in or out or pass away or whatever the case might be, someone might be needed then. And if others have not grown in their abilities to fulfill that role, then that part of the body might not function as it should. So that's the lesson. Here's what I want you to do now. Here's your assignment, should you choose to accept it, and I hope you do. I've given you that sheet of 75 things to be done in the body. If you don't have a copy of it, again, they're on the little stand there in the foyer on your way out. The high school and junior high class, or at least those who were here this afternoon, have already been through this activity. But here's what I would ask you to do. Maybe you know your role in the body, maybe you don't. But either way, I want you to encourage you to go through that list, and as you go through, I want you to mark three things. As you go through the list, first, mark what you should do because you've got the ability to do it. You can do it. You'd be great at it.
And it's part of the role that God has assigned you. And those sorts of things should just jump off the page as you ask yourself, hey, I think I'm really good at that. That's something that I can do. Second, as you go through, mark the list and mark what you could do with a little growth, perhaps. Yeah, you know, maybe that's not what I'd prefer. Maybe I wouldn't be the best in the world at it. But with a little growth and with a little encouragement or with a little direction, I could do that. And you could pitch in if you needed to, if there was a reason to. And if you got your spiritual life where it should be, perhaps you could do that. These are the ones where you say to yourself, you know, that doesn't really come naturally to me, but I could do it if my brethren really needed me to. And then, number three, as you go through, mark what needs to be done here at Timberland Drive or in your life that isn't really being done like it should. And sometimes what we're best at seeing is that third thing. A lot of times we don't see what we're capable of ourselves like we should. Maybe we don't even see what we could be with a little bit of growth. But all of us are pretty good at saying, that needs to be done and nobody's doing it. Maybe that's a negative way of looking at it, but that's certainly something that we can see. Somebody ought to do that, yes. One of my dad's favorite stories was about an older preacher who was one of his mentors and one of my mentors later in his life. And this preacher, he went to a sister in Christ's house. She was struggling with some different things in her life, so he went to visit her. And he got to her house, and the sliding glass door on her back porch was broken. And so he looks at that, and he says, sister, you need to get a man over here to fix that. Well, what was standing right before her, if not a man, right? And that's, I thought it was funny. Nobody laughed, but I thought it was funny. But sometimes what we need to do is take a step back and say, well, here am I, send me. I can do that. And if not, if I really can't do it, maybe that's not the role God has given me, or maybe I just truly don't have that ability, can I encourage someone else to do that so that the body might function as it should? And then finally, after you've marked those things, I just want you to think and give some contemplation to what you are doing. And add to the list if you want. Again, 75 things is far short of all the things that could and should be done in the body. But make sure that this week you are performing and fulfilling your role in this body. Why? Because we need you. We need you as part of the body. If we're going to function in the way that we should, if we're going to have the love and unity as we should, we all need to be doing our part. And if you're not yet a Christian, God gave you a role to fulfill, a place where you belong. But if you're not a Christian, you're not there. You're not doing it. And the body might be missing an eye or an ear or a toe or a tooth because you're not there fulfilling your role. And I will say this, the rest of us who are in this body, we suffer because of your absence. But most of all, the head, Christ, he mourns because you are not there where you're supposed to be. Who gave himself for you that you might become part of this body. Or, my other favorite example for what the church is, part of this family. The family of God where we love and support one another as we strive to make it to heaven. And if we can help you to become part of that body, a citizen of that kingdom, part of his church, then there is nothing that we would love more than to help you to grow closer to Christ and to come into that relationship with Christ by putting him on in baptism. And if you're already a Christian and you realize perhaps there's sin in your life that's keeping you from fulfilling your role, the angels in heaven will rejoice, and we will rejoice as well if you're willing to come and confess those things and repent of those things so that you might get back to what it is you ought to be doing in the body. If you need to come to him tonight, come now while together we stand and while we sing.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus.